It is our great joy this morning to have Pastor Peters with us today. Most of you, almost all of you, know Pastor Peters. Many of you have been here at this church for many years, and you're here because of his faithful ministry here. For almost 30 years, he served as the senior pastor of Limerick Chapel. And this church has been blessed with three long-term pastors, and he was the third. And for almost 30 years, he served this church faithfully. And we are, as a church, richly thankful for the faithfulness of our God in giving him and granting him such dedication to his word, to preach it in and out each week. And we, brother, are thankful for you. You're in your old seat.
Exactly.
I like that. I almost don't even know what to say. Pastor, you have done so much for this church. Your messages can still be heard on Sundays on the radio. And there is so much of this church that bears your marking. And we as a church are thankful for you, brother. Diane, where is Diane? We're thankful for you too. The children miss you. I know our boys were thankful when they knew that you were coming back. Pastor, they were excited about you too. But mostly Diane, mostly Diane. Now, Diane served children in this church for years and years, and taught and cared for them, and those kids knew it, and they still know it today. And brothers and sisters in Christ, there is not often where a pastor can come back to the church in which he pastored for many years and be welcomed. And so we are, as a church, thankful that he is here, thankful for his faithful ministry, thankful for how the Lord used him in so many ways through almost three decades of faithfulness. I know it's not something we normally do, but before he comes, as he comes and steps up to the pulpit, I would just like us to express our appreciation to him by giving him a round of applause.
See a lot of old faces, and thank the Lord I see a lot of new faces. It's all good. Diane, and I were very happy to roll. We saw you had laid out the black carpet for us as we rolled into that beautiful new parking lot. Very, very nice to see that you're taking care of things here. Praise the Lord for that. I'm very honored to be chosen for this historic occasion today. But it is true, out of all the previous pastors, I'm the only one that's still alive. So I guess that narrowed it down some as to who to invite. Before I speak, I'd like to say something, and that is that I want to thank you for praying for us. We're still on your prayer list, and thank you. We're in a very challenging situation. Our ministry now is helping churches in transition, and the church we are in East Orlando, Florida, has had a lot of pastors recently. And they're really challenged as to how to move forward. They have supported our ministry by putting us on the largest Christian station in Central Florida. Out of Orlando, it reaches all the way to Jacksonville and Tampa. We're on there every day at 4 o'clock for a half-hour program on the radio, and we're reaching out in that way. It's tough because it's not just Disney down there in Orlando, but the churches are kind of Disney-ish too. And so it's been a real challenge for this church that really honors expository preaching and calm, quiet music to compete with the entertainment churches that exist there so powerfully in the Orlando area. So we appreciate your prayers for us as we seek to be a help to that little church there. That is our interim ministry. We still maintain a home in Lynchburg, and you're all welcome to stay there when you come down that way. We probably won't be there, but you're welcome to come. And several of you have taken us up on that, and we appreciate that. Diane's still making quilts and keeping in touch with our grandchildren. If you count the one in the womb, there are now 16 of them. And we're looking forward to having 10 of them with us for Christmas in Lynchburg this year. So we're excited about that. And yes, I'm still riding my motorcycle, but it's been kind of hot in the summer down there. So maybe we'll get going with that again. Diane actually chose the text for today's message. Actually, the Lord chose it. If you have your Bible there, I'd like you to open it up to 1 Kings chapter 8, our scripture reading for today. I'll be beginning by talking especially about verse 56b, 1 Kings 8:56b, and let's bow in prayer. Father, it is such a joy to me be back in this pulpit with these dear people again. And I pray, Lord, that you would open your word to us and speak to our hearts today. I thank you, Lord, that your sheep hear your voice. And you know us, and we follow you. And you give unto us eternal life, and we shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch us out of your hand. So help us, Lord, to hear your voice today. In Jesus' name, amen. Soon after our arrival here at Limerick Chapel back in 1988, our son Nathan was killed, run over by a bus and killed. On that crazy day, they took me into a little rental house there. We were in Ocean City, Maryland. And on the mirror in the hallway of that house, there was a little Bible verse on a piece of paper tucked into that mirror edge. And I looked at it and I read it, and God spoke to me. And I asked if I could take that with me, and it was this verse. I don't know, I'd read the Bible before, but I never saw this verse. It never jumped out of me, but the Lord gave it to us that day. And then sometime later, we had our first family together vacation to get away to the shore after that, and the Lord gave me the rest of this passage along with this. And then when Diane was over in Hong Kong to meet our newest grandchild, the young man who had grown up in our church in Maryland who was preaching at that church preached on this text. So I think the Lord has given us this verse in a very special way. And here it is. There has not failed one word of all his good promise which he has promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise which he has promised. That verse occurs in two places in the Bible. First of all, in Joshua, and then here in 1 Kings. Joshua knew that truth, and Solomon knew that truth, and we know that truth. The very nature of God is that he speaks and he does. He makes promises and he keeps them. That's what it says right here. You all know what that says, don't you? I don't know how long that's been here, but it was here when I got here. God has promised. Amen? Clarence Didden and the founders of Limerick Chapel knew that God has promised, and he keeps his promises. That's why they wrote in the doctrinal statement of Limerick Chapel back in 1934 that someday, in fulfillment of Bible prophecies, that Israel would be a nation again, and 14 years later, it happened. How could they know that? Because they believed this book. And from the earliest days, this church has stood for the fact that everything in the Bible is true and that the Bible contains history written ahead of time. One third of the Bible is prophecy and prophetic in nature. Daniel, the prophet, predicted the four great Gentile empires that would rule the world. He wrote it all ahead of time. That's why liberal Bible scholars try to tell us that the book of Daniel wasn't written when it says it was written. Because they can't believe that God could write history ahead of time. But he did. He did. The minutest details of Messiah Jesus' first coming were written hundreds of years ahead of time. The method of his death and his resurrection prophesied 1,000 years before his birth. This is a miraculous book. Amen? And everything that God promised will come true. Now, the reason Joshua said what he said was because he saw the beginning of the fulfillment of the prophecies that God made to Abraham that someday Canaan would belong to his seed Israel. And he rejoiced at the end of his life when he saw the conquering of the land of Canaan under his leadership, Joshua. Solomon saw the advancement of the land grant to Israel during his reign and at the dedication of the temple, which is the context of 1 Kings 8. Solomon rejoiced in the fulfillment of God's promises. God has promised. And he has kept his promises to Limerick Chapel. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This church has had some satanic attacks down through its history, from within and from outside, and it has withstood them all. And you, the remnant of this godly church, have remained and continued to serve the Lord as it is this day. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he may thrust forth laborers into his harvest field. And from the earliest days of Limerick Chapel's history, they haven't just supported missionaries. This church has sent missionaries. Out from this congregation have gone people to the ends of the earth, prayed for and financially supported that they might bring the gospel to people who have never heard. Some of those missionaries are here with us today. And I know Pastor Spare said we're all missionaries, and we are. He's right. But I'll tell you what, to me, missionaries are missionaries. You know what I'm talking about? They are. Sally Malenke, here today. One of my heroes. One of our heroes. The Queeters. They could write a book, I'm telling you. They could. Some of his missionary letters seem like they are books. You know, and they're good books. But when I get a letter from Tom, I'm like, I need to set aside a little time for this. Because he's probably going to take me to Indonesia. He's probably going to take me to Russia. And then he's going to take me to China. And then he's going to tell me what's going on in our world and our country. And I'm going to get a whole insight from this. Because he's that kind of a guy. One of our missionaries. Praise God. In fact, I'd like all of our missionaries and missionaries' children to just stand up for a minute. Would you please? Missionaries and missionaries' children. Praise God for these people. All right. And Dan's back here. He's got the Sunday off, right? Yeah, you're usually up here leading the singing and stuff. Yeah, it's great. Missionaries' children, wonderful. Jesus said, "You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And this church has not only had an impact in the farthest places, but in its own community. You have continued to do the hard work here that the missionaries find so hard to do there with things like Center Shot, right? How many of you are involved in Center Shot? Raise your hand. Praise God. I see so many of you. And you're reaching out with the gospel locally. So many different ways that this church is reaching out. Every creative way, every way you can pull that together, and you're being individual witnesses for Christ. But I want to get a little personal here too, and that is that Diane and I have seen God keep his promises to us. There's so many. I could name only three right now. John 10:10, Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." He promised abundant life to us. And I have to say, we have our troubles, but we also have Christ's abundant life. We know what joy and peace and love are in our lives every day in our walk with Christ. We just know that. It's an abundant life. And there's an abundant number of Peterses now in family. How many are there of us now, Diane? 14 grandchildren. Well, if you count everybody. Okay, 14 that have been born and aren't in heaven yet. Okay. But if you count the wives, okay, plus. She's getting the math all correct on that. But there is about 26 of us all together with the beautiful wives. My son Andrew here today, and Mei Ling, and Kevin, and Marissa is with us with this little band on my wrist, if you're wondering what that's. Marissa made that for me, and I use that as a prayer reminder. They were down to visit us. But abundant life in so many ways. God takes care of us. Jesus said in John 14:27, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." And he has given us his peace. Given us peace. In the midst of all kinds of changes and travels and ups and downs and all kinds of things in our lives to pray about and worry about, God has given us peace. And it's a wonderful thing. He has done what he said. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus." Amen. He has done that for us. We've had some tight times. I've done some foolish things with money, I'll tell you. But, you know, God has taken care of us. God has taken care of us. And he continues to do so. He watches over us. He supplies our needs. Now, according to this text, as we go to verse 57 through 60, here in 1 Kings 8. Solomon had three prayer requests for God's people. And these are three prayer requests that I have for you. Notice he says, may the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. And the church fathers here at Limerick Chapel are Clarence Didden and Richard Gregory and really a host of others. I remember when I got here, there were 24 elders and 15 deacons. You can see the pictures of us all back there in the lobby. People who ministered and led in this church down through the years. They trusted God and they served the Lord. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. The Peters family motto is, without God, nothing. Pastor Harris, your father and your grandfather, preachers of the gospel, pastors, you have a godly heritage. And my prayer is that the Lord will be with you as he was with your father and grandfather. It is a godly heritage. It is a necessity, though, that we must never take for granted that he be with us as he was with our fathers. We need the Lord just like they did. And there's nothing that'll make you pray more than being in some kind of a mess, I'll tell you. And there's situations when dealing with God's people and with people in the community, there's always something to pray about and to really come to God and say, Lord, if you don't help me with this, I'm sunk. If you don't help them with that, they're sunk. There's so many situations in which we need the Lord's help. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. And, number two, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments. Appreciate Pastor Spare's Sunday school class this morning. He did a great job explaining how God is faithful in the midst of temptations and always makes a way to escape. And our necessity to ask God to incline our hearts towards him, because we don't love God as we should. What do you do when you realize that your heart is cold? What do you do when you don't feel like having your devotional times? You don't feel like praying. You don't feel like reading the Bible. You don't even feel like going to church. And you think, I don't really feel like this. What do you do? Do you just grit your teeth and do it? The best thing to do is to say, Lord, I have a cold heart. Lord, I don't want to do this. Lord, you're going to have to work in me in such a way that I'll have the want to here. That's God's grace. The desire and ability to do what God wants us to do. Ask him. Ask him. Ask him. You say, I don't know how to reach my neighbors. I don't know how to do this. Lord, help me. Work in my heart. Help me to even want to. And he'll help us. The third request that Solomon had for God's people is that he may maintain the cause of his people as each day may require. The cause. What cause? Young David said to his older brothers in front of Goliath and the Philistines, is there not a cause? There is a cause that is greater than Limerick Chapel. Amen? There is a cause that is greater than the United States of America. And that cause is that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. The glory of God by the preaching of his glorious gospel is the great cause to which we give ourselves. That's why we have budgets and buildings and staffs and missionaries and all the stuff that churches have and do is because there is a cause. Jesus said it this way. He said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And so, we go with the gospel. What is the gospel? Is the gospel to ask Jesus to come into your heart? That's not the gospel. Is the gospel to do the best you can? No, that's not the gospel. Is the gospel to keep God's laws and rituals? No, that's not the gospel. The gospel is what God did in Christ. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And when we believe the gospel, God saves us. He gives us a new life. He forgives all our sins, and He prepares a home for us in heaven. The gospel is all what God did in Christ for us. It is who He is and what He has done. And then Solomon had an exhortation to the people, a beneficial command. He said, "Let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and to keep His commandments as at this day." Your heart. Lloyd Weiss used to teach Sunday school right over there. You remember Lloyd Weiss? What a civil rights hero he was. He and his wife went out from this church to Mississippi, reached children in Mississippi, were on the radio down in Mississippi. They had the first black kids singing on the radio in Mississippi. They got in all kinds of trouble for crossing racial lines in their children's ministry in Mississippi, but they said it's the right thing to do, and they did it. In their retirement years, they were back here. He always used to say, "What are your motives?" I have that written in my devotional notebook. Every Friday, I ask myself the Lloyd Weiss question. What are your motives? Why are you doing what you do? Why? Why? That's a heart question, isn't it? Pastor Harris was, he's my pastor, by the way, was mentioning in his prayer how we ought to have the courage to ask one another about how our soul is doing. Those kind of questions. I thought about a lady I had kind of sit around the table. Diane and I were sitting with her and her husband, and I asked her some soul questions. She thanked me for that later. I was not sure. Well, I thought maybe I was crossing a line, getting personal with her, but I just felt the Lord leading me to do that. Inquire about each other's souls. Talk about church history, the Methodists. How did the Methodists spread throughout England, throughout the world? What was their dynamic? Part of the dynamic of Methodism was that they had house meetings where they met together and inquired about each other's souls and expressed what God was doing in their soul. Great idea. How's your soul? How are you doing with worry? How are you doing with fear? How are you doing with heart issues, the matter of the heart? Yeah. Somebody said, either you will listen to your heart or you'll talk to your heart. I live in the heart of Disney. It's the entertainment, family entertainment capital of the world right now, Orlando, Florida. And it seems like they've got a message down there at Disney. It's follow your heart. Right? Isn't that always that's the moral of every story? He followed his heart and he was so successful. Our hearts are deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know our heart? I love what the psalmist says. He talks to himself. Why are you cast down, O my soul? He talks to himself. I hope you talk to yourself. Straighten yourself out. Ask yourself questions. Deal with yourself, your heart. And then he says, be loyal. Do you know there's one person who has been under my ministry for 49 years this month? Lady right over there. Now, she was downstairs a lot here at Limerick Chapel. But, yeah, she's been loyal to me. It's not always been easy. She's been loyal to me and to the Lord. And I'm so grateful that we're able to serve the Lord together in this stage in our lives, minister together. She's been loyal. Some of you have been loyal to this church for a long time. When did you get here, Ida Mae? 3 years old. What year was that? We'll do the math. What year was it? 37. Are you as old as this church? Something like that. Anybody here been here longer than I know? I see Blaine back there. He was back. I see. Anybody else go back that far? I think you win the prize, Ida Mae. I think you. But you were carried in here or something. I don't know, you know how you got here. Ida Mae. Ida Mae and David. I remember one time David was telling me about a certain business associate who had really fouled things up for him. And I said, when are you going to fire that guy? You know? Kept on letting him work for him even though he was fouling things up. Big time. Costing Dave a lot. I said, Dave, why are you doing that? And then I realized Dave stuck with me through a lot of stuff. You know? Because Dave and Ida Mae are loyal. Loyal. You know, it's when you're in a mess that you find out who your real friends are. Isn't that right? When you're going through troubles, you've been loyal. So many of you here have been loyal to the Lord, loyal to each other, loyal to this church. Through thick and thin, you are to be commended. And the exhortation that Solomon gives is be loyal to the Lord. Be loyal. Your loyalty will be tested, but you can be loyal. And then he says to walk. He's talking about daily life, isn't he? Daily life, your walk. Your habits. Those little things you do the same every day. You know what I'm talking about. Your schedule, your money, your time, those daily things that we make those little choices about, the walk, to keep the way of the Lord, to keep it. Great Commission says, teaching them to observe, teaching them to observe. There's an awful lot on my heart today. There's an awful lot on your hearts today. We have a lot to thank the Lord for. This is a day of rejoicing in the Lord. So let's pray. And Father, you have been faithful. Lord Jesus, you have been faithful. Holy Spirit, you have been faithful to this church, its ministry down through the years. You have done miracles of financial provision. You have done miracles of providing people just at the right time, gifted people. How we thank you for the way you have met this church's needs down through history. We thank you, Lord. Kendall and Melissa, thank you for their ministry, for Pastor Harris, and for all that you are doing in this church now. And as they move into the future, I pray that they would be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.